This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now we're talking.
16 minutes past 10 o'clock. It is Power 98.7 that you're listening to. Of course, it's Power Perspective. My name is Denzel Taylor. The studio line to call, 0861-987-000. The WhatsApp number, 0833037093. And on Twitter, engage us at PowerFM987. We'll play some of your voice notes just a little later. Those, of course, some coming through with the EFF and then the conversations of previously as well. I've got Dr. BJ Langer, who is my guest next. And what we are talking about is the IEC, the political environment, and a political party that found itself for a brief moment on the national and on the provincial ballots. It found itself there, and it found itself in the national space. And I think on the morning of the 27th of March, it had all anticipated. It had evaporated, and the celebrations and the champagne and the popping of cork and the congratulatory slapping on the back had ended. The IEC had removed Arise South Africa from the national ballot. And of course, they were no longer part of the national elections. And so you have the national and the provincial elections. And they had engaged and they marched. They marched immediately, in fact. They marched on the 28th. They marched to the IEC headquarters in Centurion, around Midrand there in Centurion. And they marched to the IEC buildings. And of course, they put their case and dololo. Nothing came of that particular aspect as well. What they've ultimately been told, and this is, of course, in the media space, and this is also shared by Arise South Africa, is that there seems to be an alleged administrative element that would have cropped in and put them on the list when they should not have been on the list. But other than that, the Arise South Africa is suggesting lack of transparency, accountability, and suggesting that it is concerning. Well, Dr. BJ Langer is, of course, the Arise SA Secretary General, and we're going to bring him into the conversation at the moment. Dr. Langer, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. So how are you?
Hey, thank you, Denzel, for having me. I'm great, and yourself, sir, and to all your listeners.
I'm really, really good, and maybe you have to define the great, because you know what I've just been talking to, and you know is if somebody is and wanting to participate in the elections of 29 May, then you know what I've just said over the last minute or two would be concerning of note in essence. But let's start at the beginning. Arise South Africa, let's just start with the factual elements. Arise South Africa would have applied to the IEC and made and registered, in my understanding and your understanding and what you are suggesting, is that you would have applied to participate in national, provincial, and in every space that, of course, allows for you to anticipate in the national elections. Would I be correct in that particular understanding, that it is your understanding that when you applied in the national terrain?
It's correct. Yes, so our intention, yeah, which you'd say it's a full intention on whatever requirements that IEC has put before us, you know, for a party to qualify, yeah, in order to participate, whether on the national meaning election or provincial election, mm, there are certain prerequisites that were put before all parties.
Yeah.
And arise, South Africa being one of the parties. And mind you, that is a young and entrant party that is self-funded, that made all the commitments to pay the, you know, the total sum of 750,000, which is an indicator that we were as prepared to take up our campaign to the national and also to the provincial. And one would also attest that IEC had come up with a different way of doing things. I mean, you know, when you are deepening and making it difficult for political parties to participate by introducing the newness of doing things, like in terms of you need to collect what you call the IEC legal quotas and the signatures. You collect them all over the country, and they needed something like 61,777, and we gave 61,000, or I would say 60,000 plus of those signatures, to show that people on the ground were saying yes to the message of the president and also yes to the message of Arise South Africa. And after you have done that, and also collectively with all the young people and every committed member, after we have done that, then you pay, and then monies were paid before the 8th of March, which was the cutoff date. Then we also managed to upload as to, you know, comply, you know, with the whatsoever prerequisite that was required from ourselves. And we did all of that and paid the money. But now, little did we know that we are committing to a commission that is not for the people.
What happened? So let's have an understanding of what's going on here. It's very very vague in the space of the media as well, and where information is concerned. And I'm hoping you can help us out tonight, Dr. Langer, because of that particular vagueness. I think you've just put it into context that you had a full intention to qualify nationally, that you had, you know, you thought you had complied with everything, 750,000. You had committed to 60,000 plus, you know, signatures. You had done that. You had done it before the 8th of March, and you have submitted your application. And actually, what you then did ultimately then see on the website was, and that's why you celebrated, I suppose, and there was champagne and slapping on the back, was that you had qualified and that you were in the race, and that you were going to participate in that particular election on May the 29th. But then a renewed and an updated list in the early hours, I think, of the 28th or the 27th would have removed you. What happened in that particular short period of time?
You see, Denzel, those are days where you would call IEC allegedly a scam, because those are scamming tactics that you would find from the highest office of its caliber as the Chapter 9, whereby you expect them to be working with you regarding whether there was maybe an amiss from on our side that we need to, you know, whether to send whatsoever that needed to be sent. But now IEC, you know, has issued out what you call a timetable. Now, this timetable, meaning they issue out for professionalism and to make sure that, you know, we are all at par, and the directives are being put into place so that every party knows on how to walk on that, map that they have actually drawn for us. Now, when you and now you understand now there is a map which we are all following, cut off date on the 8th of March, and it goes further like that in terms of when to actually now also deliver certain prerequisites and certain deliverables that were given to us. But now IEC fails, you know, on its very invention. They failed because on the 26th of March, they managed to also deliver what we call a public announcement, a public notification. And under public notification rule, one would learn that once it is published, for example, if you go into a store, I might not give a name of some stores, and you get into a store, and then you want to buy a particular product, and there is a price already which is public. That says that now everybody that works in that store can see the price. Now, you can go to any other store, to the competition, meaning a commission, they will tell you that when the price is there on the floor, it's public. And then if I find it with 5 rand and it was 10 rand, then I will actually have to take the one for 5 rand. That is how it is in terms of how you should actually finalize the matter. But with IEC, they made a public announcement, put our name in public and notification on public, hence the champagnes and hence the celebrations that you were alluding earlier, because I think that was sooner, you know, for us to celebrate, not knowing that there's going to be an overnight coffee. That is, an overnight coffee by politicians or cadership. Because in this instance, we smell, I personally smell a witch hunt, because it cannot be that today you are given results and tomorrow your colleague tells you that we made a mistake, Dr. Langer, you actually did not do good. So it doesn't happen that way. And then you come and you call it an administrative error. And then you use all these beautiful words and acts that you have actually created for yourself, that are the very acts that have failed, meaning us as Arise South Africa. Then you say it's an administrative error. Then you hear IEC saying that it's an error from their side, but they are also having a prerogative to can make a decision out of an error, a decision out of an error to say we have made an error on the 26th, and on the 27th we are now saying, let us now reinvent ourselves to make the right decision. And that is a Chapter 9 institution. We're talking about people who are 30 years in this game, but they want to penalize a child, a young party, a youthful movement, you know, that made it possible for the young people of this country to go and register and have hope again and be eligible to vote. They want to punish a baby, an entrant, a 30-year-old up running a commission is now punishing a young baby that you did not press this button. You did not put that button, but we paid 750. A young baby paid 750 in a bank. That shows you the commitment that even if there could be any technical meaning glitch, but you can see that the commitment is there. How about a 30-year-old that that comes in the court of law and howl and say, we have made an administrative error? You see, Denzel, I then believe, and also as we have since we have had people saying IEC is not independent, and allegedly I actually believed, especially throughout this process, that IEC might not be independent. Hence, we are having people who are card holders, allegedly, of traditional parties that we have in the country. So I can tell you there is a foul play, and which is being done. And I will say it louder so that I am blatantly honest about it. I believe that they know. You see, there are people who know your strength, and they've seen that the strength of President and the Honorable His Excellency Mpondagada, his strength is national. He is dealing with issues of national interest. And for that reason, how do you weaken him? If you want to weaken him, you rather take away the national ballot paper you can open him up for the provinces. And then maybe that will demoralize the people from voting because he's not national. So they have identified the strength of the Honorable President Mpotagara. Sure. And then now they are using it against him. And I would say it loud because this has happened in this way. Today we slept and we were on national paper or ballot paper, and it was a public annunciation, a public notification, and then they have actually told the whole country and the whole world that Arise South Africa will be on the national ballot paper. And in the morning, they are crying out administrative error.
So,
and I'm sitting here, I can tell you, with all the frustration that they were trying to bring on us, they never knew that this is a blessing in disguise that will actually blow into a greater proportion where people will definitely see through the president and see through our movement and get to know that we've got something to offer this country. And that they are trying with all that they could in order to nullify us.
Sure.
And I can surely tell you that we are up and running and we are ready to be on that national ballot paper.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Langa. As you say, up and running. Is there an understanding on your part, on Arise South Africa's part, that had you not gone through the entire processes until the 8th of May, and actually then, as you were then reflected with the public notification that you were on the national ballot, are you suggesting that if there had been something wrong, if there had been some button that you needed to push or correct, that they needed to have told you that before the 8th so that you could have done it and you would have had the time frame to do it, but because they also thought that you had qualified, there was no need to inform you that maybe you had not pressed a particular button until the deadline had actually passed, and so you could not return to a conversation that says, hey, listen, you haven't pressed button A and B. You have to do it before the 8th of May because we close. Are you suggesting that had they had a conversation with you before the 8th of May, but because they believed you were on the ballot and because you believed you were on the ballot, no conversation took place, that because of that, you now find yourself in this particular position?
Now let me just a little bit of education on that, because I think I have a very my experience in regard to elections, and especially in particularly on this one, because I did run their system before, and then now I can tell you now and say you will not be able to deal with the regional with the national if you have not dealt with the regional. Let me be frank with you. Just on their system, you have to deal first with the region. Even as you are generating an invoice or reference number, you must first go through the region, and then it will open you up for the national. And this, what I'm telling you, is exactly how it is. So that means that now, as Arise South Africa, we have dealt with the regions. And mind you, we dealt with 9 of them. We have actually pressed 9 of those, pressed them, if they are talking about pressing, 9 of them to generate a reference. And after generating a reference, then national will then open, because the rule is you need to have at least one region to open up to contest for national. So we did it for 9. And generated what an invoice of 700, or I would say a reference number that entails the invoice of 750,000. So you can't pay 750,000 if you have not activated 9 regions.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put that.
I understand you fully. I understand you fully. I understand the logistics.
Meaning you cannot pay.
It's like ringing things up at a till.
out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's like ringing things up at the till, and then you get your final amount to pay, and your 750 would have come up.
That's our position.
And the 750 would have reflected all the nine provinces.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much, Mr. Denzel. So
sure.
That's our position as a party. We did all that. Now, when you say to us that for example, when the IC says you did not press or maybe upload, it doesn't make sense, because that was not even the what we were actually howling for. We were actually saying that IEC could have cooperated with everybody, as much as they also are saying that they are doing this for the first time. Remember, IEC has said it on record. We are doing this for the first time. These elections are different. Now, how about an entrant political party? How different can this become if it's different on an institution with such an experience?
So Dr. Lange, what are they saying that you have not done that has created the administrative error on their part? What is it that pushing a button or uploading the numbers or paying or whatever? What is the issue as to the barring of your political party from this election? What is that one thing that they have said that you did not do on the forms or upload or push or whatever it is? What specifically is it?
You see, this is what Advocate Mpofu said. He says, oops. You know why? Because they have they took us and they put us on national ballot paper on the 26th. On the 27th, they realized, as they are saying, they realized after their administrative error that we did not submit regional lists. You understand? So that's what they are saying. They realized. And as I'm saying to you, you cannot qualify national if you have not yet worked on the region. So you qualify national because the region
I understood that. Hence the 750,000.
Exactly. And then now they are saying that we did not submit the regional list. Now I'm saying the reason why they qualified us on the 26th and published us and then notified the whole country that we would be on a national ballot paper. And then in a twinkle of an eye, after some good coffee overnight, then we are off the ballot paper. And let me say this, being off the national ballot paper, it's not a child's play, you know? People can say, well, why don't we just let it be? It's a decision of the IEC. IEC has made an administrative error, and they must actually be honorable and make the right decision and allow a youthful movement led by a young, promising president who is actually standing to combat. You know, because I can tell you here, politicians are now playing, it's a propagandized kind of a decision whereby you don't want this young politician in your midst or in the parliament, because he might cause you trouble.
With all of that said, Dr. Lange, am I to have an understanding that they have not told you what that administrative error? Well, you said uploading the regional lists, and you're contesting that because you're actually saying, actually, we did, because you can't get past the process in essence. So that's aside. They're sticking to their decision, and you then now consulting Advocate Dali Mpofu, and you've paid 750,000 rand. He's going to ask you for a pretty good lump sum as well with in the context of what Advocate Dali Mpofu charges. But let me just ask you then, because you talk about, you know, a child and a new entrant and a young political party and all of that. Seemingly, you do have the kind of financial backing to have raised the 750,000 rand. A lot of political parties can't. A lot of independents can't. A lot of people were struggling to get to 750,000 rand. You've gone further. You've not chosen a pretty, you know, low, you know, start out lawyer of any type. You've chosen pretty much, you know, I charge what I like, Dali Mpofu. That's the person you've chosen.
Yes, you know.
Do you have an open checkbook there, or, you know, how are the finances working, you know, within a Rise you know, South Africa?
I would be honest with you and, you know, be honest to the nation, because we have been asked that question, and people thought maybe the president or the party, we are being funded by, you know, the Stellenbosch, you know. We got those kind of remarks from people. But they were replied in a way that I think it's desirable to say, we have not received any money from Stellenbosch. We have not even received any money from any corporate business yet. Like, to be honest with you. And we would like to, you know, receive all the money in the country or in the world, so that we can pursue this narrative and make sure that we safeguard the people of the nation and rebuild South Africa with the people of South Africa. So now we don't have an open checkbook. As I said, we are a young movement which is blessed with young, blessed, you know, people that are committed. And even prior to the 750, that's the commitment of the members, and came together and raised funds. And that is what we're doing on a daily basis. And I can tell you, a person who would love to have funding, they will not last with us. We want to, you know, we work with people who are committed and who are also taking money from their pockets. Personally, I'm doing that. Everybody's doing that. We're building a political party. And I believe that if we can build such a culture, we will have leaders who are not captured, who will stand for the people of South Africa, you know, through modesty, honesty, and humility. And we don't have them because most of them are actually now being controlled, because they are being, you know, sponsored by the same masters who are actually keeping us where we are today. So so just to put it out there to you to say, you know, we are that party. I mean, look around you there. Do you see any poster of our president? No. Anywhere where you go, you don't see his poster. Our president is working on a daily basis. And then we are superseding a tradition of putting posters, and they are no longer putting some A1s. They are putting A0s that are even breaking there in Main Lane. You know, when you go to Main Lane there, those A0s plastics are breaking down, because they are trying to show off that we've got the budget. We've got the budget. And to entice South Africans with the posters while there's no water. You know, you put an A0 poster in Alexander while there's no proper smart planning for the location. I mean, for me, I think it's the waste, and we are still embracing the waste, because people will say, we don't see your president's poster. It means you guys don't have a budget. But they don't understand that we don't just need a budget. We need South Africans to see things differently.
How are you campaigning then, Dr. Lange, if I may ask? Is it because you're a youthful and a youth-driven political party, that the youth engage differently and you roll over social media and or whatever? How are you engaging? Because you're right, the posters are not there, you know, and other political parties are beginning to put, some have already, and like you point out, the ANC have got massive posters up now. They pretty much have gone for scale instead of, you know, the A4. You know, is it because it's a youth driven political party that you're engaging differently, and maybe it's on social media? How are you campaigning?
Yes, we have been campaigning since I would say now out of all the presidents or maybe presidential candidates that we have in the country, our president, the Honorable President Paul Dagada, has actually presented himself before the public a year ago. For the whole year, we have been, we have underwent, campaigning and electioneering, and then through matters of importance, dealing with issues that cannot be resolved on a poster, or issues that cannot be communicated through a correct mode. So that has been done through the 4IR, which is one of the things that we are actually bringing on board to say we are living in those times for youth revolution. We need to see also the industrial revolution, and then for that reason, the fourth industrial revolution is here. So now we are meaning that movement or the party that will definitely manifest, the usage of the 4IR in the country, and then we will use it accordingly. So yes, we are using social media at large to reach out to millions of young people and also their parents, their families, so that they can get the information that even though we don't have the purse that traditional parties do have, your ANC and so forth, we don't have that purse, but we have a mechanism and a way on how to reach to the hearts of ordinary South Africans. And then we would also love South Africans to notice our efforts in that regard, because that to it will tell you that, sometimes good leaders might not lead the country because of what they have in the pocket. So now we need to actually now bypass that stage and supersede it to a level where we can identify a leader, even though they have no billion syndrome with them, but they have a mandate, and they also have a weight and a narrative that can save our country. We are definitely doing it differently.
Sure. So are you still campaigning? Have you not paused? Have you not paused whilst the electoral court is listening to your case, listening to Advocate Dali Mpofu, and whilst you are awaiting a decision in this particular regard, are you still out there campaigning as though you are campaigning on the national ballot?
We're campaigning on a daily basis. At the moment we're busy with the provincial code of conduct pledge, and in every province we have effected campaigns which are on the ground. Remember, a national ballot paper is made by or is comprised of the provinces. Now, if you don't have provinces, you don't have the national. So we never stopped. We continued, and we definitely went out there. We educated the people and also enlightened them, also in regards to our manifesto. We kept on working. To be honest with you, instead of this matter derailing us, we are strengthened, and we are actually becoming stronger as a family to actually begin to learn such propagandas and know how to deal with them, that even if we feel like it's a press-down situation, we would actually know how to deal with it at the latter. So we have continued to campaign, and then we have done it from the very day that we were found not to be on the ballot on national ballot paper. We continued in the provinces, we continued in the regions, and we are working in the wards, and also our branches are strengthening, and we are getting ready for the 27th and 28th, and particularly the 29th of May. for the election.
Sure. Dr. Langer, just a by-and-by question that I want to ask at this particular moment, and I'll ask a different question. But just, like I said, a by-and-by question. 750,000 Rand that you would have paid to the IEC, and then obviously the decision then made that not national, but, you know, you head back to the provinces. Do they keep the money?
You know, what I know...
I'm asking, in essence, if for example, the decision of the IEC stands...
Doesn't, yes.
Do they keep the money?
I want to be honest with you. One thing that I know is that only that when you have to get a seat, you will be given back your money.
Okay.
When you get a seat in Parliament or any seat, you will get back your money. And in this instance, I tried to check on this, that if there is an administrative error made by the IEC.
you also checking for an administrative error.
if there is an administrative error and our money is paid, are they going to also take our chance of being on a national ballot paper, and maybe they might even take our 750,000. So just to be honest with you, I might maybe on my next turn coming back on Power FM, I might be able to share that. But for now, I'm not sure on what will it be a decision taken, on that one. But obviously, we are hoping for to be on a national ballot paper than any other thing. So the worth is to be there than to also receive the money.
Sure. Dr. Langer, let me ask you, do you find yourself pretty much as Arise South Africa, youth-driven, basically led by the youth? Do you find yourself in a particularly niche environment, a niche space, that you don't necessarily have competitors in other political parties? All the others are campaigning generally and looking at, you know, amassing their votes across a huge spectrum, including the youth. But you pretty much, are you identifying the youth in essence? Because that's pretty much where you are. Have you found yourself in a niche particular space in this election, and that is what you're capitalizing on?
Yes, you know, as a political party, you need to have you need to have a stance. You must have a certain position, and also a targeted, you know, a group, you know. And our targeted group is young people, but that doesn't mean that we don't advocate for elderly people. But I'll surprise you, because once you get the young or the youth, then you go to the family, you see. One thing that people don't know, that actually we have more elderly people that have seen the good in ASA or in Arise South Africa. Why? Because they are young fellow who was actually not interested in politics and never voted even before. Some of them are first-time voters, have gained the interest of actually now, you know, becoming a patriot, and also becoming a revolutionaries, and also becoming leadership of their communities by standing, you know, and putting a cross for a young president to go and represent them in the parliament. So as to say to you that, yes, truly, we have, revealed ourselves as to have targeted the young people, which is what we have done predominantly, so that we can embrace, you know, youthful leadership, and also young professionals that are out there, and also young entrepreneurs that are out there, which have not got the opportunity to be recognized by the state. And then once you've got all of them, because, you know, you've got the young entrepreneurs, the young professionals, the doctors that you see now, they are marching, they don't have jobs. So we are catering for all of those to say, you as the leadership, come and let us actually hold hands together and then we go and stand for the country, like it happened in 1976, you know, meaning we're standing even for those, the Hector Peterson, that have their voices are not yet, meaning, heard, and then also the Solomon Mahlangu, that their voices are not yet heard. So those were youthful, leaders,
sure,
that today we interpret them in a different way to say, let us, rise. And then let the young people rise, let the youth arise, so that we can be able to now, bring a mix in the parliament. Because what you see in the parliament is, we've got more of pensioners in the parliament than any other parliament in the entire world.
Sure.
So now we need to bring a mix so that we can assist, not in criticism, but stating it as the truth, to say when there is a mix, then you would understand the youth, also well, because you cannot lead the youth without youth. You must lead youth with the youth. So then you will be able to address their issues.
Are you a
larger number, a population in the country.
Are you then concerned by, what generally is and the narrative around elections and politics in essence? Maybe not politics, but the narrative around elections where you are a youth-driven political party and the numbers would indicate to you that the youth have been reluctant and or, disengaged from the political process in essence. You're targeting that particular grouping. Are you not put off by the fact that people could, look at that and say the youth in essence are not voting, and you're not maybe going to attract the kind of numbers you think you're going to attract because, maybe the youth are or have disengaged?
You see, like a father in any household, and you've got a young man who's in your house and is not doing good at school, are you going to abandon them and leave them and continue with life as if nothing is happening? And if we are that country, then it means we are a sick country. And we need to make sure that those sick old men and elderly people that are there who do not care for the youth, because futuristically, your youth are the future of the country. So now if we let them behind and we push forward, what are we saying? So now, in other words, yes, we are not going to, we are not naive in the in the fact that youth or young people are not voting at Tenzin. We know. And then we know that they have not actually registered in numbers, but they did try. We had 550-something or 60-something thousand that is there, which I think it was actually announced. So young people did come in their numbers. Why? Because they are now making a decision. Gradually so, we might not have them in their 17.5 million that was actually not eligible to voting in this coming elections. But we would have made an impact to actually now conscientize them, and make them realize the importance of their vote. And then now, in this election, that impact must be felt. And then, as I was saying to you, that now it will cross to even other groupings in terms of your elderly people, because now, you see, Arise South Africa is not just a youthful movement. It's a family movement with a very deep consciousness in regarding to family orientation. So now it's a family movement whereby, as I was saying, when you touch the young blood, you touch the father and you touch the mother, and you also touch the grandfather, and you touch the the siblings, so that the whole family on the 29th of May, they will all be having our colors and then also marching towards the voting stations to vote for President Mpontakata and to vote for Arise South Africa. So now we believe that we stand for South Africans, for the citizens of this nation, above board, only the young people, but everybody. But we are saying we are strengthened and we are fortified by the young soldiers and the young lions and lionesses that are in this country.
Dr. BJ Langa, I'm going to wish you well, sir. Doctor, before I let you go, just on a brief answer, do you know where the court case, where the court proceedings are at the moment, when you are expecting an announcement?
Yes, I could say that we were actually presenting our case on Monday.
Yeah.
And I believe that in within a few hours, we might be also, you know, releasing a media, you know, statement regarding what the verdict would
be.
So, yes, in no time, South Africans would know, meaning our, you know, fate in regards to us being on the national ballot paper.
Sure. Dr. BJ Langa, I'm going to say good luck, sir. The more the merrier, the more people in this particular election, you know, the more,
yes,
and democracy, that just enhances and speaks to our democratic space. So good luck, sir, on both fronts with the IEC and then also in the electoral front as well. And I hope people actually do, and I hope the youth actually do go and vote. Thank you so much, sir, for coming on to Power Perspective, onto Power 98.7 tonight. I really, really and truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Denzel. Thank you to all your listeners. Thank you so much.
Dr. BJ Langa is, of course, SecGen of Arise, South Africa. Yeah, struggling with the electoral court there. Many, many issues to be dealt with in the electoral court.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.